We have been studying together the Gospel of Matthew for quite some time, as you realize if you've been able to continue with us in our study of the Word of God. But today we bring you our last message in the series of the Gospel, our study of the Gospel of Matthew, and we trust that our discussions have been somewhat of a blessing to you. Now, those of you who are on a regular mailing list receive, until you tell us otherwise, an outline study of the Gospel of Matthew, and you have been receiving that, I trust, regularly each time. It could be that some of you have not received any of the studies and you would like to receive the complete series. There are something like 14 volumes. Of course, we speak of volumes in the sense of pamphlets here. 14 issues of our study on the Gospel of Matthew, which gives you a complete outline from the first chapter until the last chapter. It could be, I say, that some of you have not received those outline studies and would like the complete set. And if you would simply write and ask for it, our mailing address is given at the conclusion of the study. It will be sent to you without charge or obligation. But as we bring our study of the Gospel of Matthew to a close today, we want to continue thinking with you about the Great Commission, as it is commonly referred to. Think again about those words, "Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Amen. What a wonderful promise this is. And we have discovered that the Great Commission includes a responsibility, a personal responsibility for each believer. We discovered that it was a continuing process. Our obligation is never ended. But we want to look more specifically today at the second thing that is brought to our attention in the process of the plan that Christ has for the evangelization of the world. Oh yes, the power of the plan we've discussed, and there can be no doubt about it. But now we look at verse 19, and we notice the words, "and teach." Go you into all the world and teach. Now, this word teach is in the imperative tense, and it is a word that involves a very definite command. You must teach. You have no question. There's no question about it. You are commanded to teach. Now, we need to listen very carefully right here, because this is not the usual word for teach. Rather, it is the translation of the Greek word methetuo, which means to make disciples. Glance across the page to chapter 27 of the Gospel of Matthew and notice verse 57. "When the even was come, there was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple." Well, the word disciple there is the noun form of the verb teach here in this particular verse that we are considering at the moment. The responsibility then of believers is to go into all the world and make disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. The suggestion is that without us, no one can be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had the same idea. He said, "Men cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ except through the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear without a teacher? And how shall they teach except they be sent?" You and I must be conscientious in our witnessing to give all the information concerning our wonderful Christ so that individuals will be impelled to follow him. Now, listen carefully. Sometimes we get the idea that witnessing is optional. We may do it, we may not do it, just as we please. Sometimes we get the idea that witnessing is the prerogative only of those who are in so-called Christian service, and that's not true. It's your responsibility and mine, every one of us, to make disciples. Now look again at verse 19 and notice the third thing in the process. We go, we make disciples, and then we read, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Now, I would suggest to you today, as you look carefully at that, that the word baptize is a transliterated word, simply means to place one thing into another. And when it is speaking about water, it is speaking about placing the individual in the water, baptizing him. You recognize that this is the prerogative of every believer, to be sure that that individual has been baptized. As a matter of fact, the individual who does the witnessing can do the baptizing. Philip did. Because of our traditional teachings, we get the idea that only an ordained minister of the gospel has a right to baptize. But the Bible teaches that any believer has a right to baptize another believer. And if you wanted to baptize a person immediately upon his receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you could, as far as the authority of the Scripture is concerned. Now, because of our practices, it is good to be able to be baptized before a church service or at the conclusion of a church service, because you have a gathered audience to whom that baptism can be a testimony, for that is what it actually is. The individual is taking the mark of Christ upon himself. In other countries where the gospel is not as well known as it is in this country, individuals sometimes receive the Lord Jesus Christ as silent believers, as did Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, but they do not follow through with the ordinance of baptism, because once they've done that, they have publicly acknowledged their faith in Christ, and they are afraid of what will happen to them if they do make their public confession. So it is important, keep in mind, to go. It is important to teach, that is to give all of the information that is necessary to make a disciple, and then after the disciple has been made, it is important to introduce him to the truth concerning baptism. Now you'll notice down in verse 20 something else about teaching. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. When you look at the word teaching there, recognize that it's not the same one as we were looking at when we were talking about making disciples. There it was mathetuo. Here it is didasko. And the suggestion is, of course, a participle. The important thing for our meditation as we think about that word is that we are to go out into all the world and make disciples of these individuals, and then after we make disciples of these individuals, we are to teach them to observe, and the word is tereo, to keep watch over everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has taught. The Lord Jesus taught the disciples that while he was here on the earth, and he could give them the truth that was with them, but he was going to leave, and he said, when the Holy Spirit is come, then he will guide you into all truth. So we have as our source material what is commonly referred to as the epistles, as well as the record of the gospel, as well as the Old Testament. Now, what are we to do with these individuals of whom we make disciples? And herein, I think, is where many of us fall short. We are to teach them. We are to teach them to observe everything that the Lord Jesus Christ taught us. Are you listening? I repeat, do you realize where we fall short? Do you realize that the vast majority of effort is put forth in winning men to Christ, and practically no effort is put forth in teaching them? Now, don't let Satan misinterpret what I'm saying today. I'm not saying that winning to Christ is not important. What I'm saying is, it is a shame that those who are won so often are never taught. Did you notice the translation of the words to keep from the Greek word tereo? To keep, to guard. I believe also that it is an emphasis upon the fact that we should teach people to stand firmly for the truth, to guard the truth, to guard what has been delivered by the Holy Spirit of God. In these days of ecumenical love, you get the idea from what people say that it doesn't matter what you believe. Just love everyone. We all love God. God loves us. Don't make an issue out of what you believe. Some of the leading denominations that have been the stronghold of the inspiration of the Word and an inerrant Bible are saying, let's just love, let's just have peace. You believe what you believe, and I'll believe what I believe. But the Bible says, watch over and guard carefully the truth of the Word of God. Contend earnestly for the faith that is once delivered to the saints. Well, I'm glad I can close our study of the Gospel of Matthew and close this particular broadcast with the precious promise of the guaranteed presence of Christ. What was it the Lord Jesus Christ said? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It is a precious promise indeed. Notice with me, will you, the translation of three Greek words, postes, hamars, which literally translated is all the day. I like that a little bit better than I will be with you always. I will be with you all the day. And the reason I like that phrase, all the day, is I have learned, and I suspect you have too, that we have our good days and we have our bad days, and He will be with us all the day, no matter what may come up. You may be arise early in the morning and wonder what kind of day you're going to have, and won't matter. He'll be with you all the day. And finally, the last phrase of this precious promise, even unto the end of the world. End is the translation of suntaleia, which refers to the idea of completion. And world is the translation of aeon, which refers to age. So what are we being told? We have a commission during this age of grace to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He assures us as we carry out that commission, He will be with us until He comes. And when He comes, we will rejoice in His bodily personal presence. Let us be faithful in the proclamation of the gospel that nothing will fail.